Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Pegimo. We begin on the second line from the top. Choyle Ma'achilin Oisei Abdi Bekin. Mishnah tells us, in the case of Pikuach Nefesh, if you have an ill person whose life is in danger, you may feed him on Yom Kippur al pi bikin based on the good advice of expert doctors. Amar Bianai, suppose we have a contradiction. We have two opposing views. What do we do then? Chayla aymer tzarech. The ill person himself says, look, I'm desperate. I need to eat today, despite the fact that it's Yom Kippur. V'roife aymer ein tzarech. The doctor disagrees. He says, You can last till Ne'ilah. You'll be okay. So we have these two opposing views. The Chayla himself, who is advocating that we feed him, as opposed to the doctor who says it's unnecessary. What do we do? Shoimin l'chayla. We listen to the Chayla. My time. The Pasuk says, Lev yedei amoras nafshei. The Pasuk in Mishlei tells us that a person himself, in his heart, he understands his situation better than anybody else. Lev yedei amoras nafshei, in which case, his opinion carries the day, despite the fact that the doctor maintains that it's not necessary. Says the Gemara Peshitta, of course, we would feed him in this case. We have two opposing views. It's a suffix. When we speak about suffix nafashis, a suffix involving a person's life, it's a life and death situation, of course you go lekula and you can feed him on Yom Kippur. Well, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Yanai? That we listen to the chayla that we feed him. Says the Gemara, ma'od teima, perhaps I would think. Reifei kimlei tfei. Perhaps we'll say, a doctor, his opinion has more value. And therefore, we should listen to the doctor and not to the chayla kamash malon. The chiddush is no. Despite the fact that there's an expert doctor with an opposing view, we listen to the chayla. We say, well, the chayla understands himself better than anybody else, and his opinion carries a day. What about the opposite case? Roifei oimer tzarech. The doctor says, this fellow must eat today. It's pekuach nefesh. V'chayla oimer ein tzarech. The chayla himself says, look, I can last till Ne'ilah. I don't need to eat. Once again, we go lekula and shoimin l'roifei. We listen to the doctor and we feed him. My time, why? Why don't we say, well, the chayla, he understands his situation better than the doctor, and he says he doesn't need to eat. Tunva hudenokitle. We assume that a tunva, or she calls it a shtus, he's been gripped by some delirium, and he's not really up to determining whether he needs it or not. And therefore, we go ahead and we listen to the doctor and we feed him. So when it's one against one, we go lekula, and we always feed him. Whether it's the chayla saying yes, the doctor saying no, or the doctor saying yes, and the chayla refusing to eat, we go lekula and we feed him. Let's take a look at the Mishnah in view of this halacha. Tanan, chayla, machilin oisei al pi bikin. Mishnah tells us that we're going to feed a chayla on Yom Kippur based on bikin, advice of experts. So we have two kashas on Rabbi Yanai. Alpi bikin in alpi atzmeloi. It's pretty clear in the Mishnah. We're only going to feed him based on the expert advice of a doctor, but not based on his own accord. That's one kasha. Rabbi Yanai maintained that we'll even listen to the chayla in the face of the doctor's opposing view. That's one kasha. Mishnah says bikin. Number two, alpi bikin in. It appears that it's only if we have two doctors who are advocating achila here. Two doctors are like two edim, some farshim learn. You don't need two kashra edim. But the fact that we have two, it's like two edim. And therefore we follow their good advice. But alpi baki echad loy, if we only have one expert, that's not sufficient to allow feeding this chayla. And this is not in line for Yanai. Aviani said, even one doctor is enough to allow feeding. So we have two kashas. Number one, you can only be machal based on on the baki, not based on the chayla himself. Number two, one baki is not enough. You need two. Hachmai skinan, says the Gemara. You know what the Mishnah is speaking about? The Amar Litzrichna. This fellow, this chayla says, I can last without food today. It's okay. In which case, the Mishnah is actually telling us a chiddush that we listen to the Raife. This is exactly like Rabbi Yannai. If there is a chayla who'd like to eat, then we don't need a baki. He doesn't need to be supported by a doctor. As Rabbi Yannai tells us, a chayla, even if he's being opposed by a doctor, we listen to the chayla because he understands the severity of his personal situation. The Mishnah is speaking where he refuses to eat. We listen to the doctor who tells us, yeah, this fellow needs to eat. So that's the case in the Mishnah. It's not a steer to Rabbi Yannai. What do you mean, says the Gemara? But why would you need two doctors? Didn't Rabbi Yannai tell us? When the chayla says, eini tzarech, and the doctor says, tzarech, even if it's just one against one, we go lekula, we listen to the doctor. Safek nefashas lahakal. Why does the Mishnah speak about two bikin? And we need two doctors to advocate achila. Why can't we just feed him based on one baki? Why do you need two? Apparently, Mishnah speaking, where number one, this ill person maintains that achila today is unnecessary, and he has somebody with him, another doctor supporting his position. The amar lo tzarech. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us, in this case, the only way you can feed him, the only way you're allowed to feed him, is if you have two doctors who are opposing these two fellows. So it's two against two. It's a balanced equation. It's a suffix. And we go to kula and we allow him to eat. But otherwise, if it's just him himself, the chayla, who says, "Eini tzarech," even one doctor on the other side of the debate would be enough. Because as we said, one against one, lekula, we feed him. Here, that we need two doctors is a case where it's two against two. The chayla has a doctor who's backing his position, who says, "Moitzarech, he can last without food today. There's no need to feed him." In this case, the only way that we can go ahead and feed him is we have two bikin who are advocating achila, because if it's only one, then it's one saying yes, two saying no, one against two is batel. His opinion has no value. Says the Gemara, okay, so what is the chiddush of the Mishnah? Ma'achilin oisal pi bikin. In this case, when it's two against two, we feed him. Pshita, of course. Safek nefashasu. We have a balanced equation, two against two. It's a safek involving sakonis nefashas. The suffix nefashas lahakal. Certainly we went to go to kula. It's not a chiddush. Leitzricha apparently was speaking the ika tereyach rini bade. Now this chayla, who says eini tzarech, has not only one doctor backing him, he has two doctors backing him. The amri leitzarech. Here's the chiddush. Here we say, well, despite the fact that there were three people opposing the achila, since we have two Bikin saying, this fellow needs to eat, their value, their opinion carries and determines the halacha and allows us to feed him. So the Mishnah, which spoke about machil oisal pi bikin, two experts, is speaking where there are three people who are opposing the achila, the chayla and his two friends, despite the fact that there are three on this side. As long as you have two on the other side, two is like Eidim, two is considered like three. Two, three, four, up to 100, same thing. And therefore, we treat it like a balanced equation, like a suffix, and we are machil him based on the opinion of those two bikin. That's the chiddush. If it's only two against two, it would be a chiddush. That's a simple suffix. You meant to go lekula in matters of pikuach nefesh. The chiddush is, even in a case where it's two that are opposed by three people, perhaps that's not really a fair, it's not a balanced equation. It won't justify being machal as chayla. Yeah, chiddush is, even in this case where it's a lopsided equation, it's enough of a suffix, so even if it's not 50-50, but there's enough of an uncertainty there which allows us to feel. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Va'afagav d'amar of Safra, trei kemei. Even though Rav Safra explained that the general klal, where Bezdin treats two edim like 100, umeik etrei and 100 like two. Suppose two people come and say, well, Reuven killed Shimon. We have 100 on the other side saying, no, he didn't kill him. We don't consider the 100 more valuable than the two. Because two edim, I believe, had the same amonis, equal to 100. So, pi halacha, we don't give more value to 100 people than to two. So even our Safa tells us that this formula, that Trey is considered like Meya, and Meya is considered like Trey, that's strictly Hanamila Linin Edis, as pertaining to offering testimony in Bezin. So when put in the context of Edis, halachically two are like 100, 100 like two. Avalin in Umdina. However, when it comes to estimations, evaluations, he's trying to determine the value of something that he was magdish and he wants to redeem it. In that case, we say, well, expert opinion is certainly swayed by numbers. Basar deyas as lina. You have more people advocating a certain opinion regarding value, estimation. Well, the more the better. More perspectives, more opinion, more angles. Different types of people, different types of approaches, certainly has more value than the lesser group. So perhaps in this case, when you're trying to evaluate the need to eat on Yom Kippur, but the schayla is really in a critical situation which justifies achila, perhaps you should say, if there are three against two, who wins? Three. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. No. Han immediately. The concept that the more the better, that's true only regarding monetary valuation. But in this case, where we're dealing with a potential life-threatening situation, we say, despite the fact that we have a lopsided equation, three advocating one opinion and two advocating the other, it's enough to present a suffix situation, and we say suffix nefashis lahak. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. So again, let's just go back to Rabbi Yana, who tells us, whenever we have a suffix, if it's one against one, regardless of whether the doctor is saying yes, the chayla is saying no, or the chayla is saying yes, the doctor is saying no, we go to kula and we feed him. Likewise, if it's two against two, suffix nefashis lahak. If it's one against two, of course, two override the one. But if it's two who are saying, go and feed him, and three saying, loy tzarech, in this case as well, we perceive it as a suffix nefashis, and we go l'kula. Says the Gemara, how can you say that the Mishnah is speaking where he opposes achila? The chayla maintains he doesn't need to eat. That was the way you explained the mission. He says Leitzarech, he has two others that support his position, in which case we need two Bekiyin to determine that he needs. Valmigdatani Sefer. Take a look at the next part of the mission. Vim ein shom Bekiyin ma'achil noisei al piyatzmoy. Mission says, if there are no experts available, then we follow his opinion. We feed him because there's nobody there to ask. The chayla says he needs to eat, go along with it. What does this sound like? It sounds like the entire Mishnah is speaking about a case where he'd like to eat. We assume that the entire Mishnah, from beginning to end, is speaking about the same case. The chayla claims he needs to eat. Says the Mishnah, look, if you can access a bucket, if you can find some experts to offer their opinion, you meant to do so. If we have no experts available, fine. We're left with no choice, so We feed him based on his own good advice. But apparently, l'chadchili meant to access experts. And certainly, if there's an expert who says, einay tzarich, you follow the expert's advice. Despite the fact that the chayla would like to eat. And this is a kashar b'yanai, who says, we have a reifa saying no, and the chayla saying yes, we go l'kula. Chesuri mechsra b'chitani. Who meant to learn the Mishnah is always missing some words, and this is how it's meant to be learned. The Mishnah is speaking about two different types of cases. First, the Mishnah speaks about a case where the chayla himself does not want to eat. I don't need to eat. He has two friends that support his position. Mishnah tells us, no. If we have two bekiyim who are saying, yes, go ahead and eat, then their position determines. So that's the first part of the Mishnah, as we explained earlier. Then the Mishnah switches over and describes a different scenario. When is this halacha said? Which halacha? That two bekiyim will determine the Omer Leitzarachani. That's only when the Chayil himself says, I don't need to eat. And he has two doctors who support his position. Well, since we have two doctors who are advocating yes, we follow their opinion. So that's the first part of the Mishnah. Avol, now the Mishnah switches to a different case. Avol Omer Tzarachani. But if the case is reversed, the Chayil says, I need to eat. As long as he's not opposed by two people, in which case he would be batal. Ein shom bekiyin trei. There are no two experts opposing him. El achad damol itzarach. Only one expert saying he doesn't eat. So it's one against one. What's the halacha? Ma'achil enoy sal piyasmai. Certainly, you can feed him based on his claim, just as Rav Yani told us. If it's the chayla saying yes, we feed him despite the fact that we have a doctor on the other side saying no. But in the case where we have two against one, of course, he's batal. If the chayla says, I need to eat, and there are two doctors saying, no, he don't need to eat, then we follow the doctor's opinion. Here it's not a true suffix, because he's only one. He doesn't have the value of two. And therefore, when there are two doctors opposing him, we follow their opinion. And that's the first approach in the Gemara. Marbar of Ashi Yamar, he's going to take issue with this last detail. He says, yeah, it makes sense that one against two is batal. But if that single person happens to be the Chayla, that's different. We treat it totally different. Because the Chayla, he understands, he has intimate knowledge of his personal situation. He understands where he's holding better than anybody else. Therefore, says Mar Bravashi, if the Chayla says, I need to eat, we feed him even though he's opposed by many people. But the Chayla knows better. Mar Bravashi Omar, Kol Heichad Omar Tzarechani, the Chayla himself says, I need to eat. Afilu Ikameya de Amri Loi Tzarech. When you have 100 people on the other side saying, you don't need to eat, with the Shaminen, we listen to him, Shenemar, Leiv Yodei Amaris Nafshai. One's heart understands the bitterness. He understands how precarious his situation is. So Mar Ravashi takes issue with this one halacha, just this one thing. Generally speaking, yeah, one person can't measure up to two people. But if this was one person happens to be the Chayla himself, his opinion carries much greater weight and determines the halacha. Let's take a look at the Mishnah again. Tanan. If we have no experts available, then we feed him based on his das. He says he needs to eat, we feed him. Time of the lekha bekiyin. Apparently, that's only because we have no doctors to ask. Ha'ika bekiyin, if we have doctors available, loy. You can't feed him based on his own opinion. So if he's one against two, we don't listen to him. Akasha, Mar Ravashi. Who says the Chayla has extra special status? Says when Hachi ka'amar. You know what the Mishnah meant to say? As follows. When do we access the doctors? The amar le'tzorechani. If the chole claims he doesn't need to eat. So if he doesn't need, then he's not advocating achila. He's opposing the achila. Not only that, as we said, he had two doctors supporting his position. In this case, says the Mishnah, the only way to feed him is based on the expert advice of those roifim on the other side of the argument, those two bekim who are advocating achila. So in this case, we access the expert advice of the bekim. Aval amat sarachani. But suppose the chayla himself says, I need to eat. What happens then? Ein sham bekin klal. We don't reckon with a bekin. We don't look at them. As Rashi says, kaloymar ein beki osam klum. Their knowledge, their expertise, worthless. As far as we're concerned, it's non-existent. Ma'achilim oisei api atzma. Rather, we listen to him, we feed him. Why? The Chayil himself recognizes, appreciates his position, his situation more than anybody else. So in summary, we have a case where it's one and one. It's a Safak HaShakal. Chayil says, I need. Reva says, I don't need. We feed him. The same in the other case. Reva says he needs. Chayil says that he doesn't. We still feed him. If it's one against two, then, if it's one who says, I need, and two say, you don't, let's say it's the Roifa saying yes, and Chayla and his friend are saying no, we don't feed him, because the Echad is batel to the Shnai. What about a case where the Echad happens to be the Chayla? He says, yeah, I need. And we have two who say, you don't. Now we have Machlekes. According to the first approach in the Gemara, we don't feed him, because the Chayla is batel, he's one against two. Ma'abar Ravashi says, no, a Chayla, he carries greater weight. He understands, he knows. And even if it's one against two, we follow his advice and we feed him. If it's two against three, two say yeah, three say no. Gemara tells us, even though it's a lopsided equation, it's still considered Safek Nefashos, and we'll go to Kula and we feed him. Continues the Mishnah, Misha achaz a bulmus, one who was gripped with a bulmus condition. It's a sakaras nefashes due to a severe malnutrition. Here as well, we feed him machil oisei afil dvar tmeim. We'll feed him even non-kosher items. So not only do we feed this fellow on Yom Kippur, we will feed him even something which is not kosher, which is really worse off than just feeding him kosher food on Yom Kippur. So it's a karnas nefashos, and it overrides all these yisurim. We feed him achi yo'iru einov, until his eyes light up again, until his complexion returns, and we know that he's out of danger. Mishan is shachay kelev shoyt. One who was bit by a deranged dog. The Gemara tells us this dog has kishav, has rachra, so his fellow's life is in danger. Ein machilin oisoy mechatsar kovetchiloy. Apparently there was some sort of alleged remedy which would involve feeding the stricken person the chatzar kovet, something to do some portion of the liver connected to the liver of that dog that bit him. Says the Tanakhama, that remedy hasn't really proven itself. It's not really a substantiated remedy, and doesn't justify feeding this fellow something which is not kosher. Rav Masi ben Charash Matim, he allows it. He considers it a proper remedy. Ve'oidama, Rav Masi ben Charash, in addition he said, ha'choshesh begroinoy, some of the girls say, ha'choshesh bepiv, he has some sort of severe ailment in his throat or in his mouth. Matil noisam tichpiv b'Shabbos, we can apply medicine to this fellow, even on Shabbos, v'pnei shu safek nefashos, v'dilengi, Safek koch nefesh, v'chol safek nefashos, doyechas ha-Shabbos. Concludes the Mishnah, even if the safek is just a slight safek, mishnah naflo olva poilas, somebody's walking along and he was buried under a pile of rubble. Safak Usham, Safak Enisham. There's an uncertainty as to whether this fellow is even there. Somebody noticed him walking by, but it's not really sure whether he got stuck under the rubble. So that's one shaila. Is he there or not? Now, even if he happens to be under that rubble, Safak Chai, Safak Meis, don't really know whether he's still alive or not. That's another Safak. Safak Kuti, Safak Yisrael. You know what? We don't even know if this fellow is a Yisrael. Despite the fact we have three reasons to avoid the situation. Three sfeikas whether we should even get involved. Mefakhin all of us agal, we proceed to move away the rubble despite the fact that it involves a malacha. And what happens? Matzu chai, if he's discovered to be alive, they uncover a part and they say, well, he's still breathing. Mefakhin, they continue removing that rubble. Vimeis, if they notice that he's meis, yanichu, they leave him in place. Continues the Gemara. Tan rabbanan b'nayinu yoydin she'iru enav. This fellow who's experiencing a bulimus condition, he's allowed to be fed anything to get him back on his feet. And the Mishnah says, "Ad she'yoiru enav," until his eyes light up again. As she says, this fellow's eyes dim. So when he appears, like he's come back to himself, that's the siman to stop feeding. How do we know? How do we know that he's back to himself, that his light, that his eyes are lit up again? The way to determine is to see whether he can discern between good and bad. When it comes to flavor and taste, so this fellow is sharp enough to discern whether this food is good or spoiled, and that's a siman that he's back to himself. One who's experiencing this bulimus condition, although we may feed him something which is not kosher, but we want to minimize the damage. Have a choice between a more severe iser or a less severe iser. Try to feed him the less severe iser. For instance, you have a choice between tevel, which involves misa, or nevela, or just a nevela, which is a lav. Of course, machil no say nevela. You give him nevela. Give him the more lenient iser rather than the more severe one. So the heter to feed him does not justify giving him anything. He meant to minimize the damage. You have a choice between tevel or shviz. You give him something where tumas and maizah have not been removed, or shviz, which Rashi says is shviz fruit after the zman habir, after a point in time, in which case you're no longer allowed to keep it at home. It's no longer available for the animals in the forest. And it's usher at this point, and the isser is an assay. You meant to get rid of it, you never meant to hold on to it. So it's an assay. In this case, you feed him shviz, which is a more lenient isser than tevel, which is misa beishamayim. Let's say you have a choice between tevel or truma. Oh, this is a real dilemma, because both tevel and truma generate misa. What about if you have shviyas or nevela? So Taisa Rosh says that you give him shviyas because shviyas is only Ivar and Mrs. Hasei, and nevela is a Lais Hasei. What about Tevela Truma, where both are pretty much of equal severity, both are Misa? Tanoyu machlekes tanoim, which way to go? The sani machil no isay tevel, ve'ein machil no isay truma. You have a choice between tevel and truma. You give him tevel and not truma. Ben teima imer truma v'le tevel. You prefer truma over tevel. The Gemara soon will explain the pshat, the reason of the machlekes. Amar Rabbi, first you meant to know like this. Heicha de efsha b'chulin. The Rashi explains as follows. Let's say you have 10 pounds of oranges. And this fellow only needs 9 pounds, meaning you can go ahead and take the 10 pounds of tevel and separate the truma maser, and it'll still be enough to feed this person back to health. Of course, in that case, hechad efshe b'chulin, if there's enough in the chulin aspect of the tevel here, the kuli amale pligid masakninenli, umasfinenli, all agree. You don't even have a sack in that tevel. transform the tevel into chulin by separating tumor maser, umasfinlein, you give him the rest. There's no question. Don't leave it in a tevel state and just feed him. If you can do without. Ki pligi, when then does machlokes apply? B'delei efsha b'chulin, when there isn't enough within the chulin portion of this mix to supply this sick fellow's needs. So we're faced with a dilemma. Do we feed him the entire supply, entire 10 pounds, in its tevel state, or do we separate the truma and feed him the truma with the rest? What's worse off, truma or tevel? Marsara tevel chomer. Tevel is worse off. And therefore, go ahead, separate the truma, and then give him that truma with the rest of the chulin. Umarsara truma chomer. Other shaita maintains, truma is worse off. Just leave it as is and feed him the entire supply in its tevel state. Interesting, despite the fact that he's giving him more iser, 10 pounds of tevel, that's better than giving him even 1 pound of truma. Apparently the qualitative edge that truma has over tevel overrides the fact that quantitatively he's being fed more iser, because it's a more lenient iser of tevel. Now, what is the rationale behind this machlekes? Mar sover tevel chomer. Aval truma chazi l'koin. Tevel is more chomer than truma, which is a limited iser. Koin could eat truma, but he cannot eat tevel. Even if a koin has his own supply of tevel, he can't eat it as is. He has to separate the truma. He can eat the truma, but he can't eat it in its tevel state. So tevel is more chomer. Keep away from tevel. Umar sover truma chomer. The other shita maintains truma is more chomer, avot tevel efshal tukune, as opposed to tevel, which is not a permanent phenomenon. You can give him a sack and tevel. So better give him truma, better give him tevel than truma. So in short, we have a fellow whose life is in danger. We give him anything he needs to eat, but we prefer hakal hakal. We go to the more lenient iser first. Shvius over nevela, nevela over tevel, tevel and truma. We have a machlokes. Now, Rabbi told us, Efshe b'chulin, if there's enough here which would allow us to first separate the truma and feed him the rest, you meant to do so. Well, pshita, of course. What's the chiddush? L'tzvicha b'Shabbos. We're speaking that it's Shabbos, where it's also to be mafresh truma maser. And the chiddush is, go ahead, be mafresh the truma maser, rather than giving him the tevel. Well, b'Shabbos nami pshita. Even if it's Shabbos, it's pashut. Tiltum adu rabbanu. At worst, what is he doing? And this is the Rabbana. Rabbi Kivega on the Gilin Hashas has a kash on the Lashon Tiltal, which sounds like it's Isser Muktzah. Although elsewhere, this Isser is presented differently. It's because of Masakin, it's like fixing, it's like fashioning, creating something. In any case, at worst case, it's Isser the Rabbana, of course. He meant to do so as opposed to giving him the Tevel, which is Asim Daraisa. Hachem Ma'eskinan, you know what we're speaking about? Where it's only Tevel Medrabana to begin with. Ba'atzitz, it grew in a flower pot chain in Nakav, which had no puncture. It was an unperforated flower pot, in which case it's detached from the ground. Medrabana. So the whole chiv of Tevel, of Trumas and Mas, is only Rabana. Says Rabba, even though on either side of the equation you have a potential Isid Rabban, giving it to him as is, Isid Rabban. Being mafish the Truman Shabbos, Isid Rabban. Which way should we go? Go be mafresh. Separate the truma. Cancel the tevel status. Why? Explains Rashi. Because although in this particular circumstance there really isn't any advantage, there's no maila to doing that frusha, which is Isid Rabban, as opposed to feeding the tevel, which is Rabban. But you know what might happen? The casual observer watching us, avoiding Afrasha's truma, and rather giving him the tevel in a tevel state, might go ahead and next time around actually feed the choyla tevel min ha-toira. Right? Next time it might be true tevel, and then it's a real problem. He's going to avoid hafrasha, just as he observed last time. I'll feed it him in its tevel state. I'll think, well, that's the way it's meant to be done. Therefore, we try to avoid that confusion. And says, Rabbi, even though it's Shabbos, and you're faced with an equal choice, you have a dilemma, you have a Isser Rabban here, Isser Rabban here, go ahead and be mafish the truma and give him the Yichulim. So that's if it's feasible. Meaning if the Chulim portion is enough to supply his needs. But in a case where it's not enough, and you're faced with a choice of Tevel or Truma, we have that Machlek is Marsav a Tevel Chamor. We prefer giving him Truma as opposed to Tevel, or Marsav a Truma Chamorah. Given Tevel as opposed to Truma, which is Mocham. Now getting back to Rabba for a moment. Lema Tanoi, Rabba says that even on Shams, we're Doicha the Shvus of Afarshas Truma, in light of the Isser Tevel, even though it's only Isser Tevel Midrabbanon, we go ahead and we tell him to be mafresh the truma, which involves the Isser Rabbanon, rather than feeding him Tevel Rabbanon, which might lead to worse Yisurim in the future. Lema Tanoi, perhaps this shaila, this halacha of Rabba, is actually a machlekes tanaim d'sanya misha nechashachay nachash. One who was bit by a snake on Shabbos. Currently, roifei makim l'makim. You can travel to a different place to summon a doctor. U'makayan leis ha-tarnagos. They can tear open a tarnagos, which is then placed on the wound. V'goizin leis ha-creation. They can pick leek off the ground, even on Shabbos, machil leis, and feed him. V'ein tzorech la'asav divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says, there's no need to take off ma'asav. Here's another example of tevel midrabbanon. It's a yarok, a vegetable. In Atura, tevel is only grain, grapes, olives. Here we're speaking about vegetables. Tevel midrabbanon says, Rebbe, just feed it to him as is, in its tevel state, rather than having to look after the mice. There's no need to master this thing. Rebbe Lezer Shimon, I mean, no. Go ahead and separate the truma and the master. Don't feed him, even tevel midrabbanon, which might lead to confusion. It might lead to this fellow being fed Tevel D'Oraisa next time. Lo yachlachi aser. He shouldn't eat until you take off the maser. Neimar Rabbi Elazar of Shimoni. V'lei Rebbe. Shall we propose that Rabba, who tells us to separate the Truma, in this case, is in line with Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, not Rebbe? Who does not require Hafrosh in this case? Who's not concerned about confusion? Just leave it as is. There's no need to look after the master. Because in either case, you're doing an Issa Drabban. I feel a tamer Rebbe. You know what? Rabba can't be in line either with Shitas Rebbe. Why? Ad kan like Amar Rebbe Hassam. It's only over there. Where Rebbe maintains, there's no need to look after the master. Why? Ela l'inyan master Yorek Drabban. We're speaking about master pertaining to vegetables, which is only Drabban. Which could never ever come to Issa D'Oraisa, a vegetable planted wherever, in the ground, in a flower pot, is at most only Tevel Midrabbanon. So it can never actually lead to Tevel Midrabbanon. Therefore, Rabbi says, forget about it. You don't have to worry about the Trumas and Masters. Either way, you're doing an Issa D'Rabbanon. Separating Truma and Shabbos, Issa D'Rabbanon. Giving him the Yerek, Tevel is D'Rabbanon. Just you can leave it as is. Aval b'masa dogon. But if we're speaking about maaser pertaining to grain, the tevel d'oraisa, which generally is min haTorah, so even though here we're actually speaking about grain which is only aser midrabban because it was planted in an otzis shein enoch of an unperforated flower pot, but since theoretically this species, this type, this variety can have with it an issa d'oraisa, should it be planted in the ground? In this case, I feel Rabbi Maida, even Rabbi would agree. Don't give him the Tevel Midrabbanon. Be Ma'afresh the Truma. Do the Issa Midrabbanon in that manner. Why? The Ishar Slave, B'Atzei Shein Enokav. Because if you allow him to be fed this Tevel Midrabbanon, a grain which happened to grow in an Atzei Shein Enokav, in an unperforated flower pot, you know what might happen? Next time around, they might feed him grain which grew in the ground in its tevel state rather than separating tumas and masters. He might come to eat the tevel, this grain, this tevel, which grew in the otzitz, in a flower pot which was nakav, which was perforated, in which case it's chayiv, but tumas and masters were not Torah. So even Rebbe would agree in this case. Since this type of material, this type of substance, can theoretically have chiv tevel min haTorah, the correct approach is to separate Truma Masra and then feed it to him. So in summary, we spoke about a fellow whose life is in danger. We feed him even at Dvar Isser. We go for the more lenient, Hakal Hakal. We prefer Shvius, which is only Isser Essay, over Nevela, which is Lois Essay, and Nevela over Tevela Truma, which involves Misa. What about if we have an equal choice between Tevela and Truma, which are both Misa? Tanakama says, go with the Tevel. It's something which could be Nesakin. It's not so Chamer like Truma. Ben Tema maintains, go with the Truma, which is not an all-encompassing Isser. In fact, it's Roy Lekain. So prefer feeding him Truma over Tevel. What about feeding him Tevel Derabbanan on Shabbos? So if it's a case of Yerek, Tevel is vegetables, in which case the entire species here cannot conceivably be Asher Menater. There is no Chiv of Truma Masra on Yerek ever Menater. So now which way do we go? We feed it him as is, it's a Derabbanan, or are we meant to be Mafresh, the Truma Masra, which is also Issa Derabbanan? What is preferred? Rav Lezer Rishima says, you mafresh it. Why? Because otherwise in the future, down the line, somebody might follow through even when it comes to Tevel D'Oraisa and feed it him as is rather than separating the Truma Masra, which is certainly not the way to go. Therefore, Lezer says, even if it's Tevel D'Rabbanan, be mafresh it and feed him Chulin. Rabbi says, there's no need to be mafresh. And the Gemara concludes, that's only because it's Yorek. In which case, this type of variety will never ever come to Tevel D'Oraisa. So if you're faced with an equal choice, on either side you have a potential Issa D'Rabbanan. Feeding him, Issa D'Rabbanan. Being mafresh on Shabbos, Issa D'Rabbanan. You can just leave it as is. But all seem to agree that if what grew in this flower pot, in this otzitz, she'enenokev, was actually dagon, grain which can potentially have within it a din truma mena teira, in that case, even if it's on Shabbos, go ahead and be mafresh, the truma meiser. So speaking where actually grew an unprepared flower pot, and it's only tevel drabonon, so feeding him is drabonon, be mafresh, the truma is drabonon, so it appears like an equal choice. Says the Gemara, no. Be ma'afresh the truma. Do that isser drabanan. Rather than feeding him the grain which is now tevel drabanan, because it might lead in the future to a situation where he'll be fed tevel benatur, which case, like in a case where the grain grew in the ground. So rather than feeding the tevel drabanan, be ma'afresh the truma and feed it him as chulin. Tan Rabbanu Mishachazei Bumas, one who's gripped with this Bumas state, his life is in danger due to malnutrition. Machil Oisei Dvash. V'chol Minu Masika, we treat him to honey and all types of sweets. Sha Dvash, V'chol Minu Masika. These things are Me'irin Ma'ur Enav Shel Adam. They restore one's eyesight, one's complexion. They bring him back to himself. Avishen Rai L'Dava, even though we don't have an absolute riot to this concept, Zeich L'Dava, we have some sort of indicator. This is a pasuk by Yohanan's son, who was famished, and he says, look, Ru'u na, take a look, Ki Oiru Einai, my eyes are glistening again, Ki Ta'amti Ma'at Vash Hazeh, because I tasted this honey. Says the Gemara, my Afabishen Rai L'Dava, why is this not a real raya? It's pretty clear that Dvash revived him. The Hasam Lav Bumas Achsev, because actually, he didn't have a Bumas state. He was malnourished. He was famished. But it wasn't actually Bumas. So it's not a clear raya that Dvash has that effect on a Bumas fellow. Amar Abayi Lishono Lachar Achila. Feeding him sweets is only preferred after he ate a proper meal. Ahava Koidim Achila Migur Gar. But prior to eating, it's worse off. It actually draws the appetite. It will make him even more hungry. They found this Ish Mitzri, who was severely malnourished. They burned to David HaMelech. They offered him some bread and he ate. They gave him water to drink. After he finished the main meal, they gave him some dessert. A fig, some raisins. His spirit returned. he hadn't eaten or drunk. Shloisha yom shloisha leilos, for 3 days and 3 nights. In any case, we see dessert is meant to follow the meal. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Misha achsei bumus, one who is experiencing a bumus condition, machil oisei alya b'dvash, they feed him fatty meat. Alya is the tail of the animal, but dvash dipped in honey. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua Amar, this also works. Av soyos nekiya b'dvash. Likewise, refined flour mixed with honey. Rav Papa Amar, this also afilu kimchi desari, even barley flour b'divsha mixed with honey. Amar b'yechan apam achas ochaz di bumus. I was once experiencing bumus. V'ras til mizrach ha'shatena, and I hurried over to the eastern side of the fig tree to find the sweet fruit. V'kiyamti ba'atzmi, and I fulfilled on myself, hachachma techai bala, the pasuk which says wisdom keeps its owner alive. I knew where to find those sweet figs, the Tanya of Yosef, haroitz alitaim tam teina. One really wants to experience the true sweetness of a fig tree, where should he go? Yifnel mizrach, should approach the eastern side, which faces the sun. Shneimar umi meged, where do we find sweet things? Tvoi shamish, things produced by the sun. The sun goes ahead and ripens it properly, and that's where you find sweet figs. Says the Mordechai, there was a story involving Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, that were traveling along, traveling on the road. Achsei bumus, Rabbi Yehuda. Suddenly Rabbi Yehuda was experiencing bumus. His life was in danger. He needed to eat as soon as possible. They met this shepherd, who's holding a loaf of bread. Kapche l'roya, Rabbi Yehuda snatched the bread from the shepherd. Achel rifta, and he ate his bread. Of course, he was going to compensate him, but he was able to do so because of pikuach nefesh. Omli Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi turns to him and says, look what you did. Kipachta saraya, you were mafsid the raya. The fact that Hashem brought you to this situation perhaps is indicative of some deficiency that you have. You must do a tshuva. Now, kimatu lamasa, once they arrived in town, it was Rabbi Yosi's turn. Achsei bumas, Rabbi Yosi, now Rabbi Yosi experienced bumas. But since he was around people, he had no problem. Adru, everybody came running and surrounded him. Belagi, vitzoi, containers with sweets, vitzoi with various foods. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda turns to him and he says, look at the difference. Ani kipachte saroya. Sure, I was mafsid, only one person, a shepherd. Look what you did. Vato kipachta, a seir kula. You were mafsid the entire city, came running with their food. Another story, Vesu Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi. Havu ka'azli burch, all three were traveling on the road. Rabbi Meir havadayik b'shma. Rabbi Meir had a practice as follows. He would pay close attention to a name. Name, Shem, denotes essence, mahus. You know, the slight ruach hakodesh that parents experience upon naming their child is based on the true character of the child. It's reflective of his nature. Rabbi Meir would pay close attention to names, especially when it came to being hosted by somebody. The name of the person, which was reflective of his character, would be the criterion upon which to determine whether he's trustworthy or not. That was Rabbi Meir's approach. Rabbi Yud, Rabbi Yesi, however, they wouldn't have this minig of being medayik in a person's name. So all three were traveling. Kimatu lahu duchta. When they arrived at this town, Bo'oshpiza, they were looking for some sort of hotel. Yahavalu, so they asked around, and people showed them to this host. Amrlu Mashmacha, they asked him, what's your name? Mashimcha, Amrlu Kidar, my name is Kidar. Didn't sound like the Rav Meir. Omar, he says, look, Shmamina Adam Rashu, it appears to me this fellow is a wicked fellow. Shinema Kidar, Tapuchas Hema. This is a nation, a flippant nation. So Kidar is not really a good sign, and he's not meant to be trusted. So what happened? Rabbi Hud, Rabbi Yosi, Ashlimu Lekisai. Rabbi Hud, Rabbi Yosi trusted him, and they handed him, this was for Shabbos, they handed him their money pouch for safekeeping over Shabbos. But Rabbi Meir, he didn't like the sound of this guy, Loi Ashlimu Lekisai, he didn't hand his kiss to this fellow. Rather, he hid it in the Beis HaKvaros. Ozel Oisvei Be'Kivre, he put it near the kever, the Avua of this host's father. It so happens that that's where he placed it. is chazili b'chelmi. Apparently his father, like son, all the way from Eil Mehemes, was looking after his son, and he revealed himself in a dream to his son, the host of Rameir. This was Friday night. He says, listen, I got something for you. Ta, come, shokol kisa, take the pouch, the manach, which is lying, aresha, near the head, the ugavar of this fellow, referring to himself. Go to my caver, you'll find the money pouch. So this is what this fellow was dreaming Friday night. Lamacha, the next morning, Amalu, the host approached his guests. He wanted to see if there's some sort of truth to it. Amalu, Hachi is chazili b'chalmoy. This is what I saw in my dream. And he was observing their reaction to see whether they'll respond accordingly, whether there's some truth to it. So the mayor held his ground. He didn't show any outward appearance of nervousness. He didn't react at all. Amrlu, Amrlei, so they told him, Chelma de Veshimshi, you know, a dream that a person has Friday night when he's relaxed in a good mood, that's not something to be reckoned with. It's just a figment of imagination. Don't pay attention to it. Sir Meir quickly went over to the Beis HaKvaros, Vednatri Kul Yoma. He stood there watching it the entire day. But to Shabbos, he took it Va'ase. Now, the next morning, Lamachar, the next day, Amruloi, Rabbi the Rabbi turned to the host and he said, Havlon Kisam, what's with our pouch? Could you return it? Amrulu, he flatly denied. Lo Yayud Var Mailam, never happened. What pouch? Where pouch? Amrulu Rabbi turns to them and he says, look, Amailoi Dai Kisa Bishma, why? Why did you pay attention to this person's name? You could have realized he's not to be trusted. Amrulu, so they responded to him, Amayli Amrslan, well, why didn't you tell us that he's not to be trusted? Amayli Amrslan Mar. Amrlu, so he's responded, he says, look, Amr de Amriano Chashasha. You know, I had a hunch. I had a suspicion. Achzuki mi Amri? Was I certain? I couldn't establish it as a fact, so I didn't propagate it. I just took my hunch and followed through, but I wasn't going to advertise it. In any case, they were trying to get the money back, so what did they do? Mashchu va'ilu l'chanusa. They convinced him to come along into this bar. They gave him to drink. This would get him out of the way. Chazu tzlafchi. They noticed remnants of lentils. Apparently he had eaten lentils for lunch or whatever. Asfami on his mustache. So they quickly took that and they ran to his wife. Ozlu, they ran to his wife. V'yavu siman al dvisu. And they provided it as a sign, as a code word to his wife. Your husband told us that you should give us back our pouches. In fact, we have a code word. Didn't you have lentils for lunch? Okay. So she fell for it. And v'shaklu l'kisai, they took their pouches back. V'aisu, and they left. This fellow came back home. You gave them their pouches back? Ozel, ew, he came back. V'kat li'itzi, and he killed his wife. I knew this none. This is what's described in the following Mishnah, Braisa. Maim rishoinim hechilu basa chazir. It so happens that as a result of neglecting Maim, washing one's hands before eating, it brought about a tremendous mechshol. A person was fed chazir. Rashi brings that it was a story of a restaurateur that he had non-Jewish guests who he would feed chazir and Jewish guests who he would feed kosher food. So if he saw a fellow washing his hands, must have been Jewish, he fed him kosher. A fellow came in one day, didn't wash his hands. He gave him to eat chazir. So neglecting my mishonim resulted in chazir. My machronim, neglecting to wash my machronim after the meal, such as this fellow, had he have washed his hands, which also includes, generally you also wipe your mouth, he would have wiped away these lentils. So neglecting my machronim, Hargis HaNefesh brought about that his wife was killed. So this was one story. At the end of the day, later on, they learned a lesson of Yudar Biesi and they started paying attention to people's names. Kimata lo Besa, when they came to the next house, the Shmei Bala, whose host's name was Bala, they said, this is doesn't sound right. Lo Yailul Gavei, they didn't go in there. Amri, they said, Shema mina Rashu, apparently this fellow is a wicked person. Tichsiv v'omar lebala nu'ufim. So we see that Bala is associated with Chet. This time, they kept away. Take time to cover today's basic points. We learned that even on Yom Kippur, we feed a chayla due to sakaras nefashos. Even when it's only a suffix. For instance, the chayla says, I need to eat. Raifa says, no. We feed him anyway. Raifa says, yes. The chayla says, no. We feed him. There's one raifa who says, yes, opposed by two who say, no. The one is batel. We don't feed him. What if that single person happens to be the chayla himself? First approach, the Gemara maintains, we don't feed him. Rabbi Ashi says, a chayla? He understands his situation better than everybody else. And therefore we feed him even in this case. When two doctors say yes, and three say no, even though it's a lopsided arrangement, we consider it a suffix and we feed him. In such a situation, we try to opt for the least amount of iser. And the Gemara learned that even if it's only tevum derabbanan, we want to separate truma and maaser even on Shabbos, in order to avoid iser derais in the future. A person with bumas is meant to be fed properly, and then afterwards given some dessert. And we learned about the importance of paying attention to one's name. Kol tiv tzion hatzlacha rabba.